In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. This first petition of our Lord's Prayer is first because it has to do with God's person and his name. The first and the second commandments are tied up in our prayers for God's name to be hallowed. God's name is holy because God is holy. In our use of that name, however, it has not been kept holy. For God's name was given to us when we became Christians and were baptized. So we are called God's children, and we have the sacraments by which God connects us with himself so that everything that belongs to God must serve for our use. This is a great need we ought to be greatly concerned about. The name of God deserves its proper honor. It is the greatest treasure that we have, the most holy thing in our possession. That as God's children, we should pray that God's name, already holy in heaven, would be holy amongst us also. Now, how is this done? How is God's name kept holy among us? The simple answer is this. God's name is holy among us when what we believe, that is doctrine or teaching, and what we do, that is our life, when both of them are godly and Christian. So then how is God's name profaned then? It's profaned when we believe false doctrine, that is when lies are taught as God's own truth, or when we act contrary to God's word, sin, and even worse, when we try to justify our sin by placing God's name as an excuse for it. False teaching is the worst possible profanation of the name of God. This is why learning from the scriptures, learning from the small catechism, and indeed learning from the Book of Concord as Lutherans are so important for us. They confess the true teaching. They teach us. They help us to discern when false teaching comes up, when God's name is being profaned. They are treasures for us. One, Scripture, that is God's own word. And the other two, the Small Catechism and Book of Concord, the words of men. And yet speaking and confessing and teaching the same truth as the Word of God. That all of it is heavenly and divine treasure for us to learn and to confess before the world all around us. Now, false living also profanes God's name amongst us. Just as a disobedient child will bring disgrace and shame to his family name, so also our sins bring shame to God's name. For this we have, of course, no defense, but ought to cover ourselves in dust and ashes, seeking God's mercy and forgiveness through repentance. How are your beliefs? How do you speak and talk about God? How is your conduct or your life? How many sins have you piled up just today to bring shame upon the name that God has you bear? Now, there is nothing that you can do of this on your own, which is why this is a prayer that we ought to pray, that we have a duty to pray, we have a need to pray, and we know that God alone can help us as we pray. We have a God who has commanded us to pray. We have a God who has promised that he would hear our prayer. And also a God who has given us the very words to pray. The Our Father. That we have nothing apart from him. And prayer is a great reminder for us of that truth. So then we find Christ tonight in his word. And his word tonight teaches us of Christ's time on the night when he was betrayed, that he is praying to his Father, who is our Father, as we learned last week, because of Christ. That throughout this Lenten season series this year, we will see examples from the Passion of our Lord praying the petitions of our Lord's Prayer. Tonight in John 17, how much did you hear him speak about God's name, the Father's name, my name? Jesus, in fact, confesses in his prayer that he manifested the name of God, the name that has been put on him, given to him, the glory that has been given to him, that he is the true Son of God, the second person of the triune God. And then he even prays that for our hallowing of God's name, that we would have God's name holy amongst us, when he prays that we would be sanctified in the truth of his word. More than that, since you are found lacking when you look at both the second commandment or even this first petition of our Lord's Prayer, our Lord intervenes. That he intervenes by taking on human flesh. He intervenes by being born. He intervenes by being circumcised. He intervenes by being a 12-year-old in the temple, reading and reciting God's word. He intervenes by undertaking a baptism of repentance. He intervenes by being tempted by the evil one. He intervenes over and over and over, following the law of God. And he manifests the name of the Father for us. He teaches, and he teaches right doctrine, never once entertaining falsehood, not holding back the rebuke of sinful, hellish teaching for the sake of worldly peace. He hallows the very name that he himself bears, and so he brings honor to the Father. Jesus intervenes in leading a godly life in what he said and did, that the name of God was hallowed by his sinless life, that the Father's name was hallowed by his calling upon it in every trouble, praying, praising, and giving thanks. That this is Jesus' active obedience. That he was holy in himself, but for the sake of sinners, those whom the Father had given him, he earns holiness by his words and works as well. For your sake. This means that for all of your profaning, Christ Jesus hallowed. That forgiveness was earned by Christ. Even while suffering and dying on the cross, he did not fail to hallow God's name. That he endured all sorts of evil to forgive your times of evil belief and evil action. God's name is holy. It has been kept holy also by Christ, who bids you to pray that now, as his own baptized child, into the name of the most holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you would hallow it today and tomorrow and every day by what you believe and by how you act. Doctrine and life, the two cannot be put against one another. That what you believe and what you do are both wrapped up in this commandment and in this petition of our Lord's Prayer. That we pray as the Catechism teaches us, help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. In the name of Jesus, Amen.